Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while. I almost forgot like our slogan and all of that stuff. Yeah, we haven't been on because there has been little news, but we're back. And tonight we're doing our Oscar Clefbaum Keep, Hold, or Fold podcast, in which we determine what Clefbaum brings to the team and whether the owner should keep him, hold him for now, maybe move him, or definitely move him. So Bruce, we're going to stick with our good thing, bad thing, and number format that we use for games this year. What's your good thing about Oscar Clefbaum?
My good thing is really the amount of ice time he just consumes on the team, how many minutes he munches, as I like to put it. This year he came up 1 second shy of 24 minutes per game in ice time. That's a new career high. That said, he's been running hot on 22 minutes for each of the previous 4 years. And now this year, 23 minutes and 59 seconds of ice time per game. And that has extreme value when you have a guy who can log heavy minutes at even strength and then also chip in on both special teams the way that he does. And, he sees his share and then some of the top competition. So by virtue of doing his job, he makes other people's jobs easier.
So a huge minute muncher on a bad team. With a bad defensive group, but a huge minute muncher nonetheless.
Well, that's where the argument can be made, yes.
Okay, my good thing, Bruce, my shining star with Oscar Clefbaum, and I have to say I've never been, like, there's two, like with most Oilers players, there's not consensus on the player. And there's some people who are huge Oscar Clefbaum fans. Yep. They would never consider trading Oscar Clefbaum. They would just never think about it. And I always kind of think about it, camp, trading Oscar Clefbaum, because there's things I really don't like about his game. Now, there's an exception to that, and this is the good thing. And this is what's always, in the last few years at least, especially in the last 2 years where he's had, I think, real struggles, especially in the defensive end. And I think we're seeing, unfortunately, we might be seeing the upper limit of his offensive game as well, which is not what we hoped it might be. Mm-hmm. But the shining star for me with Clefbaum, and the thing I always try to keep in mind, was just how fantastic he was in 2016-17. Especially, Bruce, as the season went along, the last couple months of the season and the playoffs. And in the playoffs, we did the power rankings, as I always do with the players. So, you know, how they perform on the ice. And I thought Clefbaum was the Oilers. I think I had him as their best player in the playoffs that year. And that's partly because Draisaitl had a weak first series. He became the best player, I think, Draisaitl did as the playoffs went along. But Clefbaum overall, I thought, was the Oilers' best player that playoff series. He looked, Bruce, like a number one D-man in the making. He really looked it in that series. He was shutting down strong attackers. He was moving the puck well, confidently. And part of me wonders if he's ever really been healthy since then. He's played 66 games and 61 games in the 2 years since. And although he's played a lot of minutes, I just wonder if that was the peak, because that's as healthy as we're ever going to see him, or if he'll get back that healthy again. I mean, he's still a relatively young player. He's only 25. He's coming into his best, what should be his best years as an NHL defenseman, if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
And, he's got a great contract, as we all know. So, and that was going to be my good thing, but I just quickly moved on from that because I just thought that's what I just remember about Clefbaum, is that player, and can he ever be that player again? And I don't think he has been close to that in the last years, but I don't, you know, and the further we get from that date, the less I think it's going to happen. But I still think, wow, that was something to see. And that's, in any evaluation of Clefbaum, you have to think about that, because if you move him, that's potentially what you're giving up. Bruce, your bad thing.
Well, bad thing is basically the results that happened when he was on the ice this year. And for all, I mean, the team obviously missed him when he was out there for those 20 games in the middle of the season. But you know what? When he was in there, at even strength, the Oilers scored 30 goals when he was on the ice, and they allowed 45. That's a huge difference. You know, that's 40%. Well, he's playing in the top pairing role, but they were getting stomped, him and Larson much more so. I mean, we talked about Larson in the previous or in one of our previous podcasts, and they as a pair kind of took a bit of a beating. And, you know, even over the last 3 years, his record of goals against per 60, it's a pretty tight bunch, but his is the worst on the team, 2.62, compared to, I think I got that right. I do. Yeah.
2.62 per 60.
So it doesn't like totally suck. Like the whole range is only about
what 2. What are some of the other ones?
2.1. Like Andre Sekera, 2.2. Chris Russell, 2.23. Matt Benning, 2.29. Eric Greiva, 2.44. Nurse, 2.49. And then Larson, 261. Klefbom, 262. So there's a fairly narrow range. And the thing is, you think that would be made up for at the offensive end, but really it isn't. There's not enough goals going in. And that's over a three-year span. And this year alone, just let me bring up the page again, but I believe the Oilers scored the fewest amount of goals for, just 1.59 goals per 60 minutes that the Oilers were on the ice for the Oilers. And that's the worst on the team. And his goals against this year were kind of middle of the pack at 239. But again, it's, you know, 2-4-3 against. You know, and that's not exactly killing it.
He's decidedly kind of a league average puck mover, Bruce, is where we're left, I think. I mean, you look at his points for totals at even strength over the last 3 years, and they're right middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. Nurse is about 50th overall. Between 50 and 60 when I was checking, and Klefbom's middle of the pack, like 140th or something like that. So that's, let me just check. I'll get the exact number for Klefbom here.
Now this is over a 3 year span or this
3 year span. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to get a decent sample size.
And that of course includes his best season. If you go back 3 years.
So he's 142 out of 286 defensively. Jeez. Played
five. Doesn't get much more middle of the pack than that.
Yeah, and, you know, we hoped, like, honestly, we hoped for a lot more out of him in terms of being a puck mover because, you know, that's his rep. He's a, you know, the people who really love him think he's a great puck mover, a great skater, someone who tilts the ice, and I don't see it. But really, so that's not my negative, though. My negative is his defensive play. Wow. And this isn't just him, but the Oilers have really struggled, especially this. Well, not especially in the entire decade of darkness, almost they've struggled to find a defender who can actually get the job done against tough competition, especially when you move these guys up to the first pairing. Mm-hmm. They're often okay when they're kind of in the secondary role, but the second they get stuck in that top pairing, and this goes right down the rosters, including Darnell Nurse, Adam Larson, Klefbom. The only guy who's defied this is Sekera when he was healthy. Happened to Caleb Jones this year, but Klefbom just year after year, Bruce, like honestly, and even in his 2016-17 year, except for the last couple months of the season and the playoffs, even that year, he honestly gets eaten alive against tough competition. He's not really close to being able to defend against those players. And, you know, a lot of it is coming down his wing. There seems to be an inability to take the body, they get around him or they get passes through him. And I don't know what that is. If, you know, there doesn't seem to be anything obviously, he doesn't seem to be obviously slow or obviously lacking in agility. He seems to be, I don't know, moderately aggressive enough. He doesn't seem to be shying away from physical play, but he just, is it defensive hockey IQ? I guess you could, like, that's kind of a amorphous category.
It's a catch-all category that usually comes up when people are about to criticize a guy.
Yeah, but there's something, like, there's something with his, you know, Ray Ferraro's talked about offensive and defensive reads. Or, no, that was Adam Oates, who was on Traeger's, you know, just the key to a power play, for instance, is offensive reads. And we see Klefbom in the power play. It's obvious on the power play that his offensive reads are not great. He's a very mechanical puck mover. He rarely makes a play that will directly lead to a goal on the power play because he just lacks that creativity, that burst to concoct such a play. And I think we see the same thing defensively, where his defensive reads are just a bit off. He's like a split second too slow in getting his stick or his body in the right place, and he gets beat a lot against tough competition. So at this point, I think it's overly optimistic to see Klefbom as a top pairing defenseman, and he's playing too many minutes, I think, for the kind of player that he is at this point, in what we've seen in overtime, except for that brief period that I talk about. So that's my bad thing, which is kind of a negative assessment of the player who's actually kind of an average, okay, NHL defenseman, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're stacking him up and saying he's our number one defenseman, how does he compare to other number one defensemen? He's going to come out probably poorly in that specific kind of comparison. If you say, well, he's paid in the, you know, in a group of Oilers defensemen around $4 million, how does he compare to those guys? Well, he plays more and arguably has better results than those guys, but as a top guy, you'd like somewhere on the roster, whether it's him or someone else, someone to emerge at a little higher level.
You know, maybe I'm guilty here of the way that that people tend to rate Oilers defensemen. You know, Tom Gilbert, Jeff Petrie, perhaps. Although I was a big fan, much more of a fan of both of those players. Or at least as much a fan, or probably more of both of those players. Certainly Petrie than I am of Klefbom. But there's a tendency, I think, because they're stacked up again in positions where they can't succeed. So this is Justin Schultz disease. Like a good player, a decent player who just needs to be in the second pairing. And when he's given more than that, I mean, he's paid as a second pairing guy. If he was only in the second pairing, he might actually look good. And in the 2016-17 playoffs, I wonder if we looked at his usage. I mean, Secker was on the team and was being used, I think, in at least sharing the toughest minutes, him and Chris Russell at that point. And so maybe that's why Klefbom did so well at that point, because he's got Andre Secker as the anchor playing the tougher job. So that this is a problem in assessing Klefbom and talking about all these issues with him, is that he's been used over his head. He's been thrown over his head with the Edmonton Oilers, which is the story of Oiler D-man after Oiler D-man.
Too many of them, for sure.
What's your number, Bruce?
My number is 6-12-3.
Okay.
And that is the record of the Oilers in the 21 games that Oscar Klefbom missed this year. He got injured in an unfortunate fashion, which is usually the case when you're talking about injuries, but he got hit on the fingers. That happened to be holding on his stick at a time by a rocket of a shot in Colorado, and he broke, I believe, two fingers, needed surgery, and he was out for something like 7 weeks in his 21 games. And that time, the Oilers managed to go from a pretty impressive record, 17-12-2, and in the hunt in a playoff position. By the time he got back, they were 23-24-5, and they spent the whole rest of the season struggling to get back to fake 500, which they never did.
Russell was out then too, like that.
Russell went out the same night, and he missed about half the number of games that Klefbom did.
Yeah, I always think you need to mention both at the same time, because it overestimates the lot. It's losing both of them at the same time.
Yeah, that was a real kick in the crotch for sure.
If you lose, then you don't have anyone to play. You're missing. You have a gaping hole essentially in your top four when both go out. All right, my number is going to be 3. And again, these are based on power rankings that I do, performance rankings of the players. And when I averaged out the season, Bruce, Connor McDavid was at top of the year, start to finish. Leon Draisaitl was in second place. And in third place, Oscar Klefbom. So If you think I've been overly negative, and some people listening to this will probably think I've been overly negative about Klefbom, but like that is my ranking of him. He was the third best player on the Oilers this year, according to my own assessment.
He's an important player. There's no two ways about it.
He really was. Now that says, like, I had him higher than Ryan Nugent Hopkins. So I see, that's what I thought through the year. And so he really was. What's that, Bruce?
Higher than Darnell as well?
Yeah. Darnell, the rankings are McDavid, Draisaitl, Klefbom, Nugent Hopkins, Nurse, Larson.
Okay.
And then Sekera, who only is rated in two segments. And then Russell, and then Koskinen. Boy, that really highlights the lack of talent on this Oilers team.
Especially the lack of forwards when you got like five D-men listed in your top eight or nine.
And it wasn't a very
good... Three whole forwards.
And it wasn't a very good
defensive. We all know who they are.
Yeah. Oh, God, what a wretched team. All right.
On that note.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the keep camp. Because of the contract, the youth of the player, and the perennial hope that he's going to somehow stay healthy for the entire rest of the season. And, for an entire season. I mean, the one year he played 82 games, the Oilers made the playoffs. Every other year, the guys got banged up and missed 20 or 30 or 50 games. And it's put pay to their hopes. And, I mean... And such a freak thing that happened to him this year. But anyway, I keep him because he's the best you got. Unless he's a piece of the package that's bringing back. If he's Eric Brewer and you're getting back Chris Pronger, then hey, you think about that. But otherwise, the Oilers are thin enough in the top end of their defense group to be not really thinking about peeling off from the top of the deck.
Okay, I'm going to go with hold. Mm-hmm. And hold means that you hold him, but you consider trading him. And it's a position almost that you could put almost every player in the team except for David and Draisaitl. I'm holding, you mentioned the scenario where you trade him, where you can get an exceptional player in return. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other reason I think he's in the possible trade camp is I think – obviously his contract makes him attractive, but I do think the teams who are deeply into analytics might be at least kind of Corsi on ice, Fenwick analytics, if there's any teams that are into that, might place more value on him than he actually has. So you might get more for him, but you'd have to trade him, Bruce, I see, for a top pairing defense. You'd have to package him up for a top pairing D-man.
Yes.
Which I think is unlikely.
Yes.
But it's possible. But I think you might be able to get a top line winger. Package him up and get a top line winger out of Oscar Klefbom. And I think the Oilers obviously have a bigger hole right now on the wings than they do on defense. On defense, Caleb Jones is ready to play in the NHL. They have Sekera and Russell. So if they traded Klefbom, right away, they're on the left side. You have Nurse, Sekera, Russell, Jones. So that's not bad coverage in the event of a trade for that player. Now, one of those guys is going to have to be shifted over to the right side, probably.
Unless the guy coming back is a right shooting D man.
Well, that it's often been mentioned, like Klefbom for Tyson Barrie. Who knows if that's ever? I doubt it. Tyson Barrie is a top scoring defenseman. And Klefbom isn't, but I think they might be able to get a forward. For a team that really needs a defenseman, you could get a top line winger, possibly, or a second really strong second line winger. Like if Klefbom's kind of an average plus D man on a good contract, maybe you can get an average plus or a plus winger on a contract for him. I don't know what kind of contract. I won't speculate on that. Whatever the Oilers could afford. So I'm hold.
Okay.
All righty. Well, Bruce, thanks for talking tonight.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.